This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
I don't spend enough time listening to the Doobie Brothers, I don't think.
Yeah, I've been kind of, they've been growing on me a little bit.
I remember when I was a kid, it was one of the first HBO music specials. There was a Doobie Brothers concert. They just had a stage full of musicians.
That they did.
Yeah. Wayne Kent knows all about that. He's been traveling around the world a great deal of his life with bands and musicians. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Brian. It's good to see you. I'm looking forward to another fine day here in Central Illinois. And yes, the Doobie Brothers were incredible. Of course, they weren't brothers.
No. But they probably did smoke doobies. So
Doobie was not their last name.
No.
Contrary to popular opinion, perhaps.
Yes. Just like that Lynyrd Skynyrd guy. All right. So back in the day, that was the thing. You know, a big stage full of really good musicians. I feel like we've lost that.
Yeah, when I was on the road, we traveled with 3 to 5 singers, a full rhythm section. So we're talking about keys, drums, bass guitar, acoustic guitar, and then at least 3 brass players.
Yeah, I miss those days.
Yeah, I mean, music has moved on from there, in ways it has, though you still listen. You were having a chat on somewhere along the line. I was listening to somebody talk about Bruno Mars recently.
Yes.
I mean, it's really still, nothing like a good smoking hot brass section, in my opinion, but there you go.
I totally agree.
I'm 63 years old, so it probably reflects that.
Yeah. Do you remember Dr. Ronald Ming?
Yes, yes.
You know,
he and I had very different careers, but similar experiences, I think.
Right. He was with REO Speedwagon, you know, when they had horns, at the beginning.
Yeah.
And like Chicago or any of the great bands that had the horn section. Ended up touring with Elvis, of all people, which had to be incredible.
And then you turned into a surgeon.
Yes.
Amazing.
Left brain, right brain. Every once in a while, you get those combinations. Well, he was a great guy. Really always enjoyed time with him. All right, what's going on in in your world?
Well, of course, William Shatner goes to space today. That has my attention. I'm just 90 years old. Grabbing life, by the horn and saying, "Let's make it happen." So I'm absolutely fascinated with that story. I know maybe it's getting old to everybody else, but his 10 minutes of fame in space, go for it, man, enjoy it, and I hope it turns out well for you. The whole thing is going to last 15 minutes from takeoff to just hitting the earth again in a parachute.
That was a brilliant move on behalf of the company getting him. He has huge social media following. He is funnier than all get out. I watched an interview with him this past week about going up. I think this is a media boom for all space travel. I mean, this is the smartest thing they've done yet in putting a citizen in space.
And if I look like him at 90 years of age, I'm going to be happy as all get out. I mean, you look at him in that spacesuit thing they've got him in. He looks brilliant.
Yeah.
90 years old. He's got... I go for it. Full head of hair and
You say right? Full head of hair. That hairline is lower than it was when he was on the original Star Trek TV series. I'm not quite sure. I'm interested in that too. It was supposed to happen yesterday. Got scrapped for weather. It looks like it's a good go today, and we'll see this. What's your thought? Would you go in space? I mean, would you take one of these trips?
Well, Kevin Burhaney and I had this discussion together, and I think we both said yes. Then we thought about our grandkids, and you go, maybe, maybe not. But I'd certainly have to come up to the line and have a very serious thought about, am I going to take this on or not? I would love the opportunity. I'd be as scared as all get out. I mean, my heart rate would be through the roof. I mean, I don't do roller coasters. But how could you pass it up, right?
Yeah. No, I think that Nick would be right there with you. I'm not sure I'm there yet. Will it be in our lifetimes? Will this be just a common thing? Or maybe somebody at 42, like Nick's age, 30 years from now, 20 years from now? I mean, how soon do you think it's just sort of commonplace?
I think it's a ways off. Just the expense involved. I mean, it's not like it's significantly more technically challenging than even if you could say 100 years ago when flight was first introduced to the common public. It seems to me, at least. Plus, just the physical demands of going up and what I'm an old guy who doesn't know. So I would hope it could be commonplace, but the question would be for what reason? It's not like when flight was introduced, it was because you could go from point A to point B. Just to go to space, I don't know.
I don't know. Someday, though, Wayne, they're going to be sitting around talking about this time as sort of the Wright brothers, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Right. So we'll talk about that. I've also got a story out of Pittsburgh that after the Steelers beat Denver this past week, out in Heinz Field, there was a pile of dust in the stands and on the field, and come to find out somebody had spread a relative's ashes both in the stands and on the edge of the field. And I don't know what to think about that.
Well, they know what to think about that. It's illegal. And in Pennsylvania, evidently, unless you have permission, it's illegal to do that anywhere.
Well, fair enough, yeah. It's, you know, that's often a question we'll get from somebody, say, hey, so-and-so has died, and I've got their ashes. Can I go spread them on mom's grave? And I go, you have to talk to the cemetery people about that, because for the most part, it's definitely frowned upon. My in-laws, when they were telling us about their plans for when they died, they wanted to be cremated, which they were, and they wanted us to sort of do something over the desert out in the west somewhere. And I'm going, well, that's just unusual, because where in the desert do you want to go? Utah, New Mexico, you know, Arizona. And so in the long run, we buried their ashes in a military veteran's grave in Black Mountain, North Carolina, where they grew up. It just became problematic to figure out how to do that, and was it legal, and was it right? And yeah, so the whole issue of how to manage people's ashes, I think, is something that our culture is going to have to figure out in days ahead, because cremation rates are going up and up and up, and cemeteries are becoming more and more expensive. So what shall we do?
All right. Is an expense thing? I mean, this is an interesting conversation. Why do you think they're going up? Is it just the money? Is it just sort of people feeling a little bit more one with earth? It certainly sort of makes sense to me, but why is it that they're skyrocketing?
I think it's a combination of both the idea of taking up space in the earth for the next, you know, in the cemetery for the next 400 years. Because really, once a cemetery is a cemetery, it can never be used for anything else, as far as, unless there's all kinds of remediation work done. And then I just wonder if people are saying, you know, if it really is dust to dust and ashes to ashes, then why are we worried about, you know, embalming and so forth? And yet there's a whole funeral industry that legitimately helps people in times of need, as you understand probably more accurately than perhaps in the past. How to deal with a loved one's body is very, very difficult. I mean, it's very emotional and very stressful, I guess, in many ways. I don't mean to dig into all of that for you, but the world around us is changing, and it would seem to me that burial practices are changing. I'm not so thrilled. If I was the Steelers or the people at Heinz Field, I'd be going, this isn't very helpful, because it's just laying here on the ground. Now, what are we going to do with it?
Yeah, no, I get it. Is there a spiritual side of this, an attachment one way or the other? I seem to have something in the back of my brain from childhood about a minister somewhere along the way suggesting that cremation wasn't a peaceful return of the body, that there was some sort of stigma attached to it.
Well, certainly within historic Christianity, there's a sense that to burn the body would be doing something to the image of God that's made within human, just the human body and the value of life. And there are different theologians along the way who have pushed against any sort of cremation. And I think it comes from the sense that they say all life is so valuable, why would you want to burn it? I don't know that I personally can get there theologically, but I can understand their concerns.
Interesting. I want to do the Viking thing. You know, you like shoot arrows, like the whole pyre kind of thing appeals to me. I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer. I suppose that's an individual question. But yeah, the Heinz Stadium field, probably not the place to do that. How do they get it in, you wonder, in today's security apparatus?
Yeah, how'd they get past security? And then seriously, they think, oh, we're leaving these ashes in the field. Well, think it through, man. Think it through that you're leaving a pile of dirt, if you will, ashes, that somebody's either going to vacuum up inadvertently or they're going to sweep it up and then it's going to be buried somewhere else if they realize what it was. And, of course, the officials did. So I don't know that a person thought it through properly.
Mm-hmm.
It's problematic, I think. I'm aware of this. I used to say to Leslie, hey, if I die, go to Lowe's and get a washing machine box and leave me by the side of the road. And I'm just sort of cavalier about it. And then, long story short, I did a service for a dear friend. And in the midst of taking care of all the family, I didn't really grieve. A year later, I was doing another service back at the cemetery, about 15 feet from where that friend was buried. And after that second service, this is in the middle of winter, probably 20 years ago, I walked over to Lauren's grave, and I lost it. And I realized there's something about knowing that that's where the body is. There's something was cathartic and something very helpful to be able to go and say, that's where we put Lauren. And whether or not it was in ashes or in bones or in bone body, I don't know, was the issue for me. Just that the cavalier approach, which I used to have, is not healthy. And it's simply that cavalier. It's not good.
Wow. We just got deep there, Wayne. You got
you
pull us out of the deep end here. Anything fun tonight?
Well, in Israel, yes. Here's something fun. In Israel, if you're on the beach in Tel Aviv, now drones can deliver ice cream.
Yeah.
Or sushi.
One of the.
I love it.
I'm not sure about the sushi. I've got to be a little bit more particular about the delivery method of that. The ice cream, I guess if they get it to you before it melts, it's probably good. I did see a picture of those drones flying overhead. It's quite spectacular. We are in the Jetsons for sure.
We are.
Yes.
I love it.
I do too. Technology is a wonderful thing. Hey, before I let you go, thanks again for Friday and to BJ and all the folks out of First Christian Church. It was great seeing you in person. And thank you so much for the sponsorship and the phone lines and all that you guys did to help us get to our 8.1 million pounds of food.
It's a stunning, absolutely stunning response from our community. Obviously, with the Buffett Foundation coming along it's a big gift at the end there. But regardless of that, if you think about what we as people did, absolutely phenomenal, and all hats off to everybody involved and to the leadership and your care and all of that, Brian. I would be fascinated now to figure out, to be part of the team that figures out what do we do with all these funds, but I'll leave that to other people, of course. But it's our pleasure to help out in the community however we can and whenever we can. And the people back at the church, as they were answering the phones, had a blast. I had conversations with people who were involved, and they were going, man, this is so much fun. I think the people who were new to that this year were surprised at how callers not only wanted to give their information, but were how energetic people were about, hey, I'm giving money, which is really a cool thing if you go, because often people say, I don't want to give money, but actually you give them a good cause and a good reason to give money. It can be a moment of great health and sort of life-giving, a life-giving moment of joy to those who are the donors. It's a great day.
No doubt about it. Wayne Kent, The Direct Line. You can hear it tonight at 5 o'clock. Live. If you miss it, you can get the podcast at nauticator.com.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.